Our humanity has a need to understand things. Anyone who has ever parented a child is familiar with the question, why? Honey, you need to pick up your toys. Why? So that your room will look nice. Why? Honey, don't you want your room to look nice? Why? And of course, this goes on infinitum until we finally say, because I said so. We are born with an inquisitiveness not easily quenched, and one of those things we strive to understand is our God. And as God's children, I'm sure that we have all asked him that question, why? As Nancy mentioned, we were at the funeral of my cousin, the fallen police officer Brian Shaw, this week, and I guarantee you there were a lot of people at that viewing asking God exactly that question, why? In our Whisper series, a mother lost her daughter due to an aneurysm that burst and a subsequent car crash that occurred. And God wanted her to know that despite what happened, He, God, is still good. When evil happens, we shouldn't change our view of God. He is always good. In the reality of our experiences with Him, He is not only good, but He is our everything, whether we realize it or not. But our experiences with God soon teach us that He is not to be understood. Understanding God will never be part of our skill set. We were made in His image, but we will never be more than a shadow of His greatness. And a shadow can't anticipate its creator, can it? It can only mimic Him. And surely we were born for this purpose. Like a shadow, we find that there is a contentment in His closeness and in His constant supply. Acts 17:28, Paul says, "In Him we live and we move and we have our being." I would say that we are in Him when we see Him as being right next to us. Our closeness to Him allows us to know Him by our experiences with Him. Our experiences may teach us that He is a God who is always there when we need Him. Since we don't physically see Him, the reality of our connection depends completely upon Him and upon our faith in Him, for He is never failing. Never failing in that He always seems to know exactly what we need at any and every given point in time. And that's not necessarily what we think we need, is it? This thing called faith allows us to move in relationship to Him. And of course, we have times in and out of lockstep with Him. Good shadowing and poor shadowing. And we have seasons to our faith, just as we have seasons of trust, seasons of devotion, seasons of praise, and seasons of thanks for all He is to us. I want to talk to you today about one such season of faith that I experienced 6 months prior to my experience of being born again. Faith is not something we receive suddenly after coming into relationship with God. Our faith is something started in us at a very early age, probably when we have that first inkling that there must be an Almighty God. Whether this is taught or received by some innate spiritual reality within us. God's love for us is patient, and that patience can often take a large chunk of our lifetime to build up the kind of faith within us that will accept Him as our much-needed Savior and Lord, and another chunk of time to prepare us for the mission He has for us. You see, it takes time and experiences for us to discover or acknowledge that we are better off in relationship with Him. This relationship with Him is the absolute best course for our lives, for this relationship has the sure potential to fill all of our needs. This is the place that we should teach our children to be totally dependent. With Christ, nothing else is needed. Jesus Christ is our all in all. Now that sounds almost crazy, doesn't it? Crazy until we see it through our experiences with him. Crazy until he actually becomes our all in all. If you haven't seen it yet, that he is all you need, all I can say that he isn't done with you yet. That chunk of time needed isn't over yet. You need a little more time in the kettle. So let's get to the story. The story being my experience with him, what he saw as being exactly what I needed at this point in my life, 6 months out ahead of my repentance and coming to know him as my Lord. In May of 1984, my brother Jeff and I and two employees were building a railroad tie wall along the edge of a property in Hazelwood. The first day we completed about 80% of the preparatory work. We hauled away the old wall, and it were midway in the process of reshaping the drooping hillside. So I knew that when we arrived day two, I was going to have to get some railroad ties there real quick. So I checked with the one ads, and the one particular lead in the one ads that seemed the best was located 3 or 4 miles off the Parkway West. And so I left early in the morning to take a look at these ties. When I got there, I was really impressed with the ties. They were in great shape. They hardly even seemed used. So I offered the seller his asking price of $8 each for 100 ties if he would provide transportation. So hesitantly, he got on the phone and called one of his trucking buddies in Little Washington, and he made the arrangements. And then he said to me he would provide free transportation only if I would pay him in cash. So I went to the nearest Mellon Bank and got $800 in cash. And for the cash, I received a receipt on a scrap of his clipboard, like this. By now, after coming back from the bank, by now a driver, a man named Shorty, had arrived in what was a very obviously used flatbed truck. Now, I hate to bust your bubble. I know what you're all thinking. So before you get visions of Dawn dancing in your heads, no, this wasn't Dawn. And no, all truck drivers aren't vertically challenged. Love you, Dawn. So onto Shorty's truck went 100 Oak Railroad ties, weighing probably 400 pounds each. You got to realize these things are 8-inch by 10-inch by 9-foot long, made of red oak and then soaked in creosote, which makes them even heavier. As Shorty strapped down and chained down his load, I overheard him say he didn't know Pittsburgh that well, so I told him he could just follow my green truck. So off we went. We were soon on the parkway, and the thought occurred to me, actually the fear got me, that within 15 minutes we'd be coming down Green Tree Hill. And I'm thinking, boy, I sure hope Shorty gets his truck legitimately inspected. How much is 400 times 100? It's 40,000. Needless to say, my fear kept me well ahead of Shorty coming down that infamous hill. And as a consequence of my fear, there were two cars between us when we came out of the tunnels onto the Fort Duquesne Bridge. They must have been two guys who couldn't multiply. So anyhow, I need to be in the right-hand lane because I'm going to turn and go on the Parkway East. And I had no doubt that Shorty would see me and follow, but to my horror, I watched through my rearview mirror as Shorty went straight ahead over to the north side. And there were some pullover places, and I pulled off at one of these emergency spots. And I immediately did what I was used to doing when desperation set in. I prayed, "Oh God, help me find that truck." And then I guess my past experiences kicked in because I said, "I know you've always been there when I needed you. God, please do something. Help me get those ties back. Thank you, God." And then once again, my past experience must have kicked in because I said, Lord, I know you always come through. To me, he was a God who always came through. Pray, believe, trust, done. That had been my experiences with him most of the time. So I pulled out and circled through town over to the north side. When I arrived there, there was no sign of Shorty. Then it immediately occurred to me that I needed to get to a phone booth, which there was one nearby, and call the man who sold me the ties. Of course, my hope was that Shorty had called in, but it wasn't the case. So I told him I'd continue to look around and call back in 15 minutes. At this point, I'm feeling the most helpless yet, and I had to lean even harder on the one who has been there for me in my past. Like the time that I was in the middle of the Allegheny River in high school drowning, and he saw to it I got safely to shore. Or the time 2 weeks prior to my wedding that I needed a job, and out of 58 applicants, he saw to it that I was the one that got the job. 2 days before the wedding. And then there was the time that I was broken down in West Virginia, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And there was a thunderstorm coming, and Nancy was in the passenger seat. My parents were in the back seat. And God directed me where to go. And he sent to me this man called Charlie. He was probably my age at the time, and he recognized right away that my carburetor had vibrated loose from the motor, and he fixed it for us as I held an umbrella for him, probably a half an hour in the middle of a storm. You see, we use our past experiences to boost our faith today. So about 10 minutes pass, and I'm getting antsy, so I call this guy back, and he seems completely rattled. He said, you're not going to... Whoops. I'm rattled. He said, you're not going to believe this, but Shorty did call after we talked. He said, and believe it or not, he is with your brother over in Hazelwood. I said, what? He said, by now they're probably unloading the railroad ties, so he must have been there for a while. What I failed to mention so far is only about 30 minutes, 45 at max, has passed since I lost Shorty on that bridge. Oops. Needless to say, I was completely overwhelmed. I had asked God to help me find those lost railroad ties. It turns out they were never really lost. All along, they remained in his custody, and he was delivering them for me. To me at this time, he just made the water into wine thing seem a bit mundane. When I later talked to Shorty, he said he realized he had gone the wrong way, so he turned around and headed towards that road that goes down by the steel mills. Now, believe me, in those days, there were a lot of roads that went down by steel mills in Pittsburgh. Shorty had remembered someone saying this place was down near the steel mills, so he knew the smokestacks from a steel mill could be seen from the parkway east, so he drove there. After seeing those smokestacks, he got off at the very next exit, Squirrel Hill Homestead, and he randomly chose the homestead side of the exit. Now, I realize now I shouldn't use that word, so let me correct myself. By God's Spirit, he chose the homestead side of the exit. And if you're familiar with that exit, it's right in front of the Squirrel Hill Tunnels, and it shoots you up the hill past hundreds of residential homes on both sides. And when you get to the top of the hill, there's a light. And I can picture Shorty driving up that hill thinking, I really don't know where I'm going. I have to find that guy with that green van. And he couldn't find a place to pull over his truck. So finally he hits this light at the top of the hill, and voila, there's a gas station right there on the right. Now, today there's a restaurant there, but back then there was a gas station. Now, in the meantime, if you believe in coincidence, there I go again. If you believe in the Holy Spirit, my brother decided to leave the job with a helper and go get coffee. So he comes up out of Hazelwood, and he makes a right onto Greenfield Avenue. And he only goes a couple hundred feet, and he's at that light. And he intends to make the right and go down towards the Homestead High-Level Bridge and hit the Wendy's on the left-hand side of the road to get coffee. But he sees this truck sitting there with railroad ties on it. So, curiosity getting the best of him, he pulls in. And get this, he noticed the driver is in a phone booth. I mean, go figure, calling to see what happened to his escort. How can anyone not have faith to spare after an experience like that? Our God experiences are the foundation beneath our faith. Now, it's obvious God does work in mysterious ways, doesn't he? My God, who in that day I would only relate to in my times of desperation. It is now my guess that God was looking more for me than just my occasional dabbling in knowing him, only so briefly in order to help me out of the current crisis I was involved in. But God is patient, is he not? He knows exactly when and how to bring the pieces, the experiences of our lives together. He knows when we will be ready to accept him and accept his role as the king of our lives. Our lives certainly consist of many small pieces, and God is the great orchestrator of them all. When our repentance is needed, he arranges the segments of our life to point us to repentance. When our faith is needed, he has already given us an abundance of experiences that we can draw upon to build that faith. Now, this is the best part. When we realize the error of our sinful ways, he sends grace upon grace our way so that we might accept him as our needed Savior, as our all in all, and so that we might walk in relationship with him. And through our experiences with him, we learn that this relationship is the best course for our lives. And you know, this relationship, I think, is also the easy yoke he has encouraged for us all along. One where all we need to do is consider him walking next to us and put our trust in him. He is that close. He is that available to us all the time. He is willing and anxious for us to acknowledge his presence so that we can enjoy the fruit of our being with him. He has always been the creator of our experiences with him, and we were always meant to join him in those experiences and mimic the things he does. He is as close to us as a shadow is to the one who cast it. As we consider him walking next to us and trust only him, our lives will become fruitful. People will begin to recognize him in us. They will recognize him in us by our actions and by the grace we extend towards others. As we consider him walking next to us, we will have the joy that comes in knowing we've been used by him to attract others to his kingdom. This is incomparable joy and lasting joy. Allow me to switch gears here a little bit. Since we just finished our study of God's whispers, his promptings to us, those heavenly nudges that can make or break our lives, I can't help but tell you about one such whisper that I received back in the 90s. It came out of nowhere and it surprised me. These unexpected words from God were, "I want you to preach." I thought, now that is a big want. You see, I wasn't at all receptive to the message. It sounded like I would be expected to change careers and go to the seminary. I didn't exactly see that as a good fit. I was more than just a little afraid of speaking in front of a group of people. That had always been a tremendous fear of mine. Romans 10:15 says, "How can anyone preach unless they are sent. And Bill Hybels might say, how can anyone say what God once said unless they hear his whispers? After hearing this, a short time later, maybe it was a week, maybe a month, after hearing I Want You to Preach, our pastor announced before his Sunday message that the Lutheran Synod had decided to start a lay ministry where volunteers could have the opportunity to fill in for pastoral vacations. After training, they would be asked to conduct the liturgy and deliver a message in the minister's absence. No-brainer, right? Well, of course, at this point, I responded positively to the whisper of God, and I enrolled in a program. I learned a lesson from this experience. First, don't think you have to jump headfirst into a whisper without evaluating it first. And maybe you even have to wait on God's timing and the arrival of His Spirit. And of course, at this point, just trust Him. He certainly knows what you can handle. He said, His yoke is easy, His burden light, and if He said it, that makes it true. Now, doesn't it? End of discussion. Now, you might be saying, doesn't look very easy to me. But you are not seeing what the Holy Spirit is doing to make it easy. You know, my fear of speaking was a non-factor. I don't know what he did, but that lifelong fear of mine became manageable. You see, only the one who heeds the whisper gets to see the Spirit, how the Spirit makes it easy. Bystanders don't get to peek. Only active participants get to do that. Part of it, I think, is that God's own Spirit somehow communes with our human spirit to reveal just how doable it really is. That is what I detected when Jerry Couchman, in our Whisper series, said there was never really any consideration of saying no or wiggling your way out of it. He said that when he recognized he was being asked to give his kidney to a relative stranger. And maybe, that was Tim and Amanda's experience when they were asked to go to India. Anyone other than them might think they were stark, raving, crazy, mad, and any other reference to lunacy you might possibly think of. But the Spirit can have His way with those willing to obey, can't He? The lesson here is don't fear being asked to do something you can't handle. Sometimes you have to wait on Him to work things out, but in the end, He has it all figured out. Just trust Him. There have been many times I've received a whisper that in the beginning produced heavy resistance on my part, and God quickly responded with His backup whisper, "Trust me." Believe me, He can make it very difficult to say no and easy to say yes. How can you argue with "trust me" from the one who spoke all things into existence? Nancy and I are here today at New Song because of a whisper. On or about March 2013, God's whisper told me to change churches and come here. So 20 or so months later, we showed up. I just came stumbling in, and I am convinced that God knew all along that if He wanted Nancy and I here for Christmas 2014, He had to light a fire under us 20 months earlier. After all, He is God, and He certainly knows I'm a little slow. I guess in this case, a lot slow. But to my credit, though, in the beginning, I did tell Nancy and one of her friends, Tony, that I had divine instructions to go here. It wasn't like I kept it to myself. And I can't remember one time after that, while seeing Tony, that she didn't ask, "Did you go to that new church yet?" Now that's what you call being used by God. Or maybe it's just holding the slow guy accountable. Bill Hybels says he wants to be both a hear and heed guy. hear the voice, and then heed its instructions. You see, Bill knows being this kind of girl or guy will open up to us a world of wonder and awe. Jesus is recorded numerous times in the four Gospels as saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or has come near, depending on the translation. It's like the kingdom is going on unseen all around us, right in front of our eyes. And in John 3:3, he tells Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom unless they are born again or born from above. It sounds like after that born-again event in your life, you then have the potential to discern God's activity around you. But hearing and seeing in this way takes practice now, doesn't it? As well as a willingness to err as part of the learning curve. Are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to practice? Are you willing to hear, to heed the call of God? Do you have an urgency within you to check out this world of wonder and awe? Or are you happy with a lesser form of Christianity? Bow your heads. Let us pray. Lord, you are so much more than we could ever possibly give you credit for. Fix the small-mindedness within us. Adjust our sight to accommodate your bigness. Through your whispers, Lord, take us from bystanders to active participants. Light a fire under us, Lord. Be quick to show us the fruits of a vibrant speaking relationship with you, Lord. Open our eyes and open our ears so we might see and hear your kingdom going on all around us. So we might never doubt the place you've made specifically for us in that kingdom. So we might have all we ever need to join you in the works of that kingdom. By your Spirit, Lord, guide us and empower us as your willing servants in and to a fallen and hurting world. By your Spirit, Lord, let us experience firsthand your own compassion. Not our human compassion, but your very own divine compassion towards all those we meet and minister to in your name. And teach us, Lord, to turn that same compassion into healing. Healing for all those you sent to us. Revive us, O Lord. Revive new song, Lord. Lord, we need revived. We need you, Lord. And Lord, we ask these things because we surely know it is only what you would have us ask. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.